the bat, took his stance. The kid had really good form, Zane thought. Excellent focus and instincts. He remembered standing in that same spot on a sunny afternoon with the smell of grilling meat, green grass, brown dirt, white chalk. How he'd blocked out the noise of the crowd, or used it. How in that moment, those smells, those sounds, the feel of the bat in his hands, the sight of the white ball winging toward him comprised the entire world. Gabe didn't waste time and banged the first pitch past the diving first baseman. As Darby had predicted, the solid single put runners on the corners. She hooted, whistled, exchanged high fives with Zane. "Bring him in, Luke!"
"Do you know all the kids?" Zane wondered.
"If you're going to live and build a business in a community, be the community. Plus, baseball."
The count built to 2-2 before Luke popped a one-hopper to left center. It brought in the run, advanced Gabe to second. While the coach called time and walked to the mound with the catcher to settle down the pitcher, Darby turned back to Zane.
"Depending on your schedule, we can stretch my appointment Wednesday if you want to go over options. Or you can come by my place tomorrow, or I can come by yours. Either way, around 10 in the morning or after 3. She waited a beat. "Unless I've scared you off the whole thing."
"You don't scare me."
"Good. Just let me know when works for you."
Emily leaned forward.
"You're talking about Zane's place. He showed me your drawings. It's like a movie."
"But livable," Darby returned with a smile. The conference at the mound worked. The pitcher worked the batter to a 1-2 count before crowding him into an easily fielded pop-up. The next looped one to second, couldn't outrun the throw to first, and ended the inning.
"Two up," Darby slapped her hands together. "It's hot dog time."
"Zane, give her a hand,"
Darby waved Emily off.
"I'm good. A deal's a deal."
Darby worked her way down, then over to the cook shed to get in line. The woman in front of her turned.
"Hey, Darby."
"Lori,"
who worked at Best Blooms and knew her stuff.
"How's it going?"
"Going good. My husband's sister's boy's playing and we're winning. I saw you in the bleachers."
She gave a quick eyebrow wiggle.
"I didn't know you were with Zane Walker."
"Sure, we're..." "Oh, no, not with. I wanted to see Gabe play for a bit. I'm just sitting with the family."
"Well, that's a genuine shame because you sure look good together."
Lori shook back flyaway curls as she glanced back at the stands.
"It's good to see him out here at a game."
They shuffled up in line, paused as the crowd cheered a long fly ball snagged by the center fielder for an out.
"I was a few years ahead of him in school," Lori continued, "but my sister was in his class. He was the star of the team, won state player of the year 2 years running."
"That's big stuff," Darby commented.
"Oh, yes, indeed. He'd have won it again if it hadn't been for..."
She seemed to catch herself, shifted her feet.
"He had an injury that took him out."
"For the season?"
"For good, from what I know. Bad broken arm or something like that. Anyway, it's good to see him back in Lakeview, back at the field."
Lori gave her order, leaving Darby to think it through. Broken nose, father, she thought. Broken arm? The same source? Maybe. And maybe it explained why no one ever mentioned his father or his mother come to that. And why he and Britt had lived with Emily and Lee. Lori gathered up her cardboard tray loaded with drinks, dogs, fries.
"You come and see us at Best Blooms now."
"You know I will."
Darby ordered the dogs, doctored them as specified, and thought of a teenage boy, star of the team, player of the year, one who dreamed of playing in Camden Yards. Her heart broke a little. She had to push it away as she carried the food up the bleachers. If he wanted her to know, he'd tell her. She passed out the dogs with napkins.
"Down payment," she told Zane. "We still have to negotiate your $1 million fee."
"Didn't I mention that's my hourly fee?"
"You did not. Will my LLC come gold-plated?"
"It's the only kind I do."
She ate her dog, stayed through the fourth inning.
"Gotta get back. Emily, be sure to take a look at reception.
Good seeing you, Chief. Zane.
Once again, she worked her way down the bleachers, started toward the road.
Hey.
And turned back when Zane came after her.
Where are you parked?
She pointed, tapping her finger in the air a couple times to indicate distance.
I'll walk with you. Stretch my legs.
Well, you've got a lot of them.
The little guys had wrapped it up, and the next age group looked about to. Zane paused a minute, watched the center fielder misjudge a fly by about a mile and a half.
Coach used to take us out for pizza, win or lose, after a Saturday game.
Good coach.
Yeah. So I've given your staggeringly ambitious plans for what would have to be termed my estate considerable thought.
As you should. But I think you need more acreage, a guest house, and an infinity pool to qualify as an estate. Possibly a tennis or squash court.
I'm getting a freaking waterfall,
he reminded her.
I've given it thought. Started after my admin managed to bring me out of the fugue state induced by shock and a little awe.
She shifted, hooked her thumbs in her front pockets.
I considered giving it to you in smaller bites, but it felt like cheating. Why don't you tell me what's an absolute no, forget it, are you crazy, and I can adjust the plans and the costs.
Nothing.
She stopped dead.
You don't want any of it?
It's your place, Zane, but I have to tell you, you need at minimum the foundation plantings, a couple of trees. With that, I could handle the work myself and give you a better break on labor.
You misunderstand me, though that was exactly my first reaction. Absolutely no, forget it, she's crazy. Then I made a couple of mistakes.
What kind of mistakes? She wasn't entirely sure where he was going, even though she started to get a little buzz under her skin.
First, I showed the plans to some friends, my family. Big mistake there. Next, I did a little tour of the bungalows you've finished. I even ran into a couple of guests outside one, a couple who've come every spring for the last 3 years. Emily gets a lot of repeats.
Having been a guest myself, I can tell you why. Good accommodations, stunning view, exceptional and personal customer service.
Which is pretty much what they said. Then they added that with the work done on the outside, they liked sitting on the front porch and looking out at the yard as much as the lake. Or having a drink on the back patio after spending the day on the lake. How everything looked so nice, how it felt like, I quote, their little private Eden.
That's very nice.
Then I still went home and thought, no, no, and no. Maybe here. Maybe I'll consider that one. I got to the game today after thinking more with no and no. Maybe, okay, probably. And then
he stopped by her truck, looked around. He could see the mountains shining under the pure blue of the sky, the houses, green grass, painted porches, flowers planted. He could hear the game. Sound carried. He knew the ground under his feet, the taste of the air.
Then watching the game, sitting with Emily and Lee, saying hey to people I know me, who knew me, I thought, this is it for me. This is it. That's my house up there. This is my home. These are my people. That's why I came back. That's why I'm staying. That's why, fuck it. It's mine, and I want it all.
All of this.
Of this,
he agreed when she gestured around her.
And all of your staggeringly ambitious plans.
She held up a finger, turned away, walked a few steps away.
This is unexpected.
Are you saying you can't do it?
Of course I can do it.
She spun back.
I don't offer what I can't deliver. Well, hot damn.
She came back, punched him lightly in the arm.
Hot steaming damn. This is going to be great.
You're not going to regret it.
I better not. I just said yes to everything you wanted.
She shook her head.
You wanted it too, or you wouldn't say yes.
Regardless, I said yes, and all I get's a punch in the arm and I won't regret it.
You're right. You are completely right. You deserve better. I can do better.
She threw her arms around his neck. That was unexpected. And did much better with a long, hard kiss,
one she put a little punch into. Enough of a punch to rock him back on his heels, to have his hands gripping her hips before he could stop them. Then she pulled back, grinned at him.
There now.
I've got to get back to work and stop to buy subs for the crew on the way.
But I'll be in touch.
He held on just another moment.
You are hot.
She laughed, kissed him again, light and friendly this time.
Told you.
She pivoted to her truck, hopped in, then leaned out the window. I'm still not paying you $1 million. With that, she started the truck, pulled out. She circled back toward town, and when she was well out of sight, pulled the truck over.
Holy crap.
Inhaling, exhaling slowly, she rubbed her hand over her jumping heart.
Holy double crap.
As if getting the job, the whole thing, wasn't thrilling enough, she'd whacked herself silly with an impulsive kiss on the side of the road. Anyone would need a minute to settle down.
Keep it light, she told herself. Keep it light. Or try to. Who knew better the consequences of impulsive mistakes? Okay then. All good.
She breathed out one more time, then ordered up her phone, the number for her stone company. Asked for her rep.
Hi, Kevin. Darby McRae, High Country Landscaping. You can put that order through. How about we go over it, make sure we've got it right?
By the time she parked at Emily's, she had her first deliveries confirmed. She hauled out the bag of subs and chips, stood studying the now completed shrubbery.
Perfect.
The foundation plantings, also perfect. And with the new stonework, the fresh paint, the clematis climbing up the new lamppost, the house had some serious curb appeal. She had some great planters in mind for that fabulous wraparound porch. And since Emily actually cooked, there'd be a couple of tomato plants, plenty of herbs. She walked around the back to where Roy and Hallie tested another section of irrigation. She beamed at both of them.
We're going to need a bigger crew.
The following week, Graham Bigelow walked out of prison after 18 years. His hair, shorn short, was steel gray with hints of white at the temples. Deep lines carved into his prison pale face, around his mouth, his eyes, in his cheeks, his forehead. He wore khakis and a pale blue golf shirt over a body a bit thicker in the middle than it had been, but one he'd kept fit in the prison gym. Eliza waited for him outside the gate. She wore a sundress in emerald green. Her hair, freshly colored and styled, swept dark around a face she'd spent a full hour perfecting. Legs shaking, she walked to him, wrapped her arms around him, felt his wrap around her. She fought back tears as she lifted her face and for the first time in nearly 2 decades, felt his mouth on hers. He turned her to the car, the black Mercedes he'd approved her to purchase. Though his hands balled into fists for an instant, he had no license to drive, he opened the driver's door for her, walked around to take the passenger seat. His eyes held hard on the prison gate, the prison walls, the prison guards, all that had kept him locked away and humiliated. Still shaking, Eliza drove away.
Graham. Oh, Graham.
Just drive, Eliza. I need to get away from here.
Everything's ready for you, my darling. Your new clothes, your favorite foods. I sold the house, like you said, rented the one you wanted in another neighborhood. The lawyer said we have to stay in North Carolina, but we can apply to move from Raleigh. I thought Charlotte. We can start fresh there.
The cars whizzed by too fast. Too many. Too much sound. Too much open. Too much sky.
Don't worry.
She laid a hand over his.
Don't worry, Graham. You're free now. We're free and we're together. We'll be home soon.
Finally, she pulled into the drive of a 2-story brick home. Smaller. Much smaller than the one he'd left so long ago. But the old neighborhood with its cracked sidewalks meant room between houses, trees and fences forming borders and separation. She drove into the one-car garage.
and he felt a terrible relief at the sound of the garage door closing. Inside again, away from too much open, noise, prying eyes. Inside with no bars, no locks. They had sex first, fast and hard. Driving himself into her, feeling the bite of her nails, the rush of her breath, he began to feel like a man again. They showered together. She heated up the meal she'd hired a caterer to cook, so it would be perfect, and set the table with candles, poured champagne. They ate and drank together, went back to bed together, more gently this time. They slept together and woke together, snuggled in bed with coffee together, began a new life together. It took him nearly 48 hours to strike her. Chapter 14. As spring rolled toward summer, Darby hired Ralph Perkins as a part-time laborer. The squat barrel of a man with a mass of gray hair and bifocals came with experience as a stonemason and could operate the heavy machinery. What he knew about trees and plants wouldn't fill a bucket, but she wanted an experienced hand to help with Zane's hardscaping. And to Darby's thinking, anyone could be taught to plant, from an oak to a petunia. Ralph didn't use two words if a grunt would do, drank Dr. Pepper like water, and had a delicate touch with the mini excavator Darby had invested in. He'd also taken a shine to Gabe and patiently taught the boy the art of building a retaining wall. Zane watched the lower terrace take shape, move from a steep, rocky slope to a wide ledge formed from the bite of the excavator's claw. He'd lost count of the number of times he'd stood on his bedroom terrace, drinking his morning coffee, and worried that damn machine would slide right over the edge. But Darby appeared to know what she was doing, and so did the new guy. So disaster was averted. He shot them a wave each morning as he headed to his office. Most days they'd knocked off before he returned. But he'd see little bits of progress, mostly bigger, wider holes. One day he drove home and found trees lining the steep road, and the foundation or footers or whatever they called it for the front-facing wall. As the wall began to take shape, actual stone rising, he'd catch himself slowing, even stopping on the drive up. He thought every time how it should have always been there. He thought of Darby and her crew like elves who labored away when no one could see, then vanished like mists. It surprised him to find her there one evening when he pulled up, almost as much as it surprised him to see the spread of foundation plants along his veranda. Darby, in cargo shorts and boots, a t-shirt and cap, was on her hands and knees spreading mulch. She stood as he parked, waited for him to walk over. "What do you think?"
"It looks great. Scary great. Like I have to learn stuff great, which isn't great."
"Low, slow growers, easy care."
"Those don't look easy. What are they?"
"Mop head hydrangeas, and they are easy. I love that variety with the intense green and blue, the touch of pink on each petal. Unique. The flowers grow on the old wood, so you don't want to prune at the wrong time of year. So don't prune. They're going to give you color until well into the fall. And you've got evergreens for structure year-round. More bloomers. Good texture." She dusted her work gloves against each other. "The wall's coming along, so I put Roy and Hallie on this to give you a nice little bang when you got home. You've been really patient, Walker, and deserved a splash."
"It's a splash. Seriously, it's beautiful. You're an artist."
"That's a lift to the end of my day, thanks." She had damn good legs, he mused. Long, toned arms. She smelled like cedar chips and grass.
"I haven't talked to you except by email since you were in the office."
"You give good email."
"So do you. Want a half a beer?"
"Absolutely."
"Come on in."
"Ah, grungy," she pointed out, spread her arms. "I'm not going to track through your house."
"We'll sit out here. I'll bring it out."
When he went in, she brushed herself off, stowed her gloves. After climbing up to the veranda, she settled into one of the deep, wide chairs with the thick navy cushions he'd chosen, let out a long end-of-day sigh. It felt damn good to just sit.
Even better to just sit, admire the view, smell the fresh mulch. When he came out, handed her a glass, she tapped it to his bottle. You did good on the furniture out here. Comfortable, casual, class.
I like it.
He sat in the chair beside hers, gestured to the view.
Now I'm king of all I survey.
Damn right. How's the lawyering business?
Chugging along.
And satisfying, he mused. More satisfying than he'd expected.
I've got myself an intern for the summer, and she's working out. She's smart. I don't have to ask you how business is going. I'm in the middle of it. You were right about the wall.
Yeah, I was. He just shook his head.
Not just the aesthetics, which have yet to be fully realized, but from the relief on my sister's face when they all came up for a cookout and she saw what was going in.
Good. And how'd that go, the cookout?
All I had to do was provide the burgers, dogs, drinks. Since Emily and Britt made everything else, it went just fine. So, the ex-husband.
Brows lifted. Darby glanced over. That's some segue.
Inside my head it was. What's the story, or is it off limits?
If it was off limits, I'd have said a line drive broke my nose. She shrugged. Okay, I've just finished college, and there he is. Great-looking guy, a friend of a friend of a friend I meet at a party. Trent Willoughby.
Willoughby.
Sense and sensibility. Points for you, knowing Austin.
Big readers in my family,
he told her. Yeah, mine too. So, Willoughby, and he's just that handsome and charming and romantic. Trust fund kid, but I don't hold that against him. He's started up his own advertising firm with two of his college buddies. We talk, some sparks, and since he's a friend of a friend of a friend, I figured, sure, we can exchange numbers.
I guess he called.
The very next day. He hadn't moved on me at the party, kept it easy. So he says his family has a box at Camden Yards and the O's are playing at home. Would I like to go? I go, because who wouldn't? If you've never watched a game from a box, you're missing something. I also discovered he knew next to nothing about baseball, but I found that endearing, right? He'd made the date to please me. Sweet. One thing led to another, blah, blah, blah. I met his family, he met my mother, everything was smooth. We dated for 6 months, and all I saw was this terrific guy, considerate, interesting, crazy about me, romantic. He takes me to Paris, I mean freaking Paris, for a long weekend. With a half laugh, she sipped more beer. I'd never been out of the country, never, in fact, been west of the freaking Mississippi, and now I'm in Paris. It's dazzling. And he proposes to me on the banks of the Seine with the moonlight and, Jesus, I wasn't thinking about marriage. Not yet. Down the road. But Paris. Moonlight. So I said yes. She took a moment and studied her beer. I didn't really want a big splashy wedding, but it got out of hand. Or out of my hands. You could say his family sort of took over and I got swept up. If I tried to throttle it back, he'd say how it would hurt their feelings. Anyway, more blah, blah, blah. I can say looking back, I can now see there were signs, but that's hindsight. Was he demanding, possessive, domineering? Yes, to all, but so subtle and offset by that crazy about me, the romance, the little sweet things. I was stupid, she murmured, and he was just so good at it.
It doesn't take being stupid to get taken in,
Zane corrected. Maybe, maybe not. Anyway, right before the wedding, he drove me out to this fancy gated community, pulled up to this monster house in a maze of monster houses. Our house, he told me. And but, his parents put down the deposit as a wedding gift. Done deal. Not once consulting me. But he rolled over that. Surprise! 10 days before the wedding, and I'm a little sick. I don't want this monster house in Stepford Land, one that's a solid 40 minutes from my mother, from our business.
Did you tell him?
Tried. Not hard enough. I let him manipulate me, no question there. I thought, well, I can make it work. I can landscape the yard, make it mine. I can just get up earlier to get to work. I loved him, didn't I? The important thing is we were starting our lives together. So we did. We had the big, splashy wedding his family somehow pulled off in 6 months because I should be a spring bride, even though that's our busiest season. We had a honeymoon in Paris where he started pushing for me to go off birth control so we could start a family.
You didn't talk about kids before?
We did, and we'd agreed to wait a little. So I pushed back there. I want a year with him first before we talk kids. Hell, I was only 23. I had plenty of time. We're barely home when he gets back on that again. He wants to make a baby with me, start our family. Don't I want to have his children? Then it's that I work too much, too hard. I'm coming home too late and too tired. Owning a business should mean I don't have to work. At Zane's quick laugh, she had to smile. Right? Owning means you work the hardest, but he didn't get it. And I'd already seen he didn't exactly put in tons of time and effort in his own firm. So it's around and around, up and down. She paused, stared out at the view, the boats gliding on the lake. He waited, saying nothing. 6 weeks and 2 days after I said I do, I come home from a long, sweaty day that ended with me fighting ugly traffic, and he's sitting there drinking a gin and tonic. She had to stop again, let out a little breath. He's laying down the law. Look at me, exhausted, filthy, and he's coming home to an empty house, a house he provided for me. I'm to sell the business and start behaving like a wife. I was so tired. It wasn't the work. You know, I loved the work. It was that horrible commute. I said no, I wasn't selling the business, and I wasn't going to talk about it because I needed a shower. The next thing I knew, I was on the floor. She shook her head. In the year I'd known him, he'd never shown any signs of violence. None. He could be demanding, yes, pushy, single-minded, and yeah, he could strike out with words. But that backhand shocked the hell out of me. It seemed to shock him, too. He was immediately contrite, appalled at himself. He cried. He made excuses. He'd had a terrible day, too much to drink. He'd been so worried about me and more. He begged for forgiveness. I'd been married 6 weeks, and now the man I'd married was on his knees weeping. Zane said nothing. He already saw the end. I told him he had one chance, only one. If he ever hit me again, we were finished. Not only that, I'd file charges.
How long did it take him?
3 weeks. By then I'd realized it wasn't going to work, that I fell for the man I thought he was, not the man he actually was. I'd been freaking Marianne Dashwood, and that was just mortifying. He couldn't help himself and put a hand over hers.
She turned out just fine.
Yeah, it took her a while. Me too. The man I had married was so damn needy and just not altogether right. If I spent time outside of work with my mother or a friend, I was taking time from him. If I disagreed about the smallest thing, I was attacking him. Didn't love him enough. Any time, effort, affection I gave to anything or anyone else was stealing it from him. Stupid, she thought again. She'd been incredibly stupid. I came home from work and he went right at me. Verbally first. He even accused me of having an affair with one of the crew, a guy I'd known forever who was happily married with two kids. My mistake was to laugh at that one. Then he went at me physically. She paused for a moment, studied the view until she felt settled again, able to finish. No backhand this time. The first punch broke my nose and he was raging, pounding. You can't think when someone's beating you like that. You just try to get away, make it stop. Basically, he beat the crap out of me, tearing at my clothes, screaming all the time, and I couldn't make it stop. I couldn't get away. At some point, we must have knocked a lamp over because I got my hand on it and hit him with it, hard enough to stun him. I ran outside. There were neighbors out in their yards, thank God. I just ran, screaming for help. I couldn't even see where I was running. People came over to help me, even when he came charging out of the house. They helped me. Somebody called the cops, and they helped me. Even when he tried to spin it that I'd attacked him, that didn't fly. I filed charges, I filed for divorce, and moved back in with my mother. She was a brick, an absolute brick. He got a really good lawyer, but I had the medical records, the police report, the witness statements. He got 3 to 5.
Should have been more.
Well, really good lawyer. He got out in 3. I had a restraining order, but come on.
Did he come after you again?
He caught me when I got home one night after seeing a movie with some friends. But he got the surprise this time. I'd taken self-defense courses and martial arts. Kung Fu.
No shit. Kung Fu?
Bet your ass. I'd earned my brown belt by then, so he got worse than he gave. Mostly because it caught him off guard. I called the cops and they picked him up. He did the full 5.
Should have been more.
Shoulda, coulda. My mom and I talked about moving when we knew he'd get out, but damn if I wanted that. We had a home, the business, and he had to know if he came after me again, he'd do more than 5. But when she died, there wasn't any point staying. So, fresh start. She finished the beer. And that's my story.
Has he bothered you again?
I haven't seen or heard from him. I don't see how he'd know where I am now, or after all this time, why he'd come down here to mess with me. So that's that.
You wouldn't have been his first.
She tapped a finger toward him. Smart guy. With a little digging, we found out he'd smacked around a couple others. Nothing as violent as my experience, but it was a pattern. Moral of the story is don't let a good-looking guy with a cool name charm you into marriage. Though it seems like since the actual marriage lasted about 3 months, it shouldn't really count.
You could get it annulled. I happen to know a lawyer who could help you with that.
Thought about it, but it doesn't seem worth the trouble. Finished's
finished. Like closing the book, he thought.
But he knew it always stayed inside you. Always.
Are you hungry?
Yet another interesting segue. I could be hungry. What have you got?
The only thing I'm sure I have is frozen pizza.
Pizza is never wrong. And I could probably have the other half of the beer if I had pizza.
Let's eat.
I'm going to take my boots off out here and wash up in your powder room.
That works.
He rose as she bent over to deal with her boots.
Kung Fu?
I've got a black belt now. 2nd degree. I'm ditching the socks, too. They're sweaty.
You're a really interesting woman, Darby.
You're a good-looking guy with a cool name, so don't try to charm me into marriage.
I'll refrain.
He opened the door, and she walked into the house on bare feet, with toenails painted the same dark green as her tat, which reminded him.
What's the story with the tat?
Oh, she lifted a hand to it. I got it the day they found Trent guilty. Life goes on, right? My mother liked to say that no matter how bad or good things were at any given moment, it moved along. Life just cycles. Now she looked around. You've got more stuff, she noted.
Yeah, I've been picking up this and that now and again.
That is nice. She pointed to the painting over the fireplace. The lake at sunrise, misty and secret, taking hints of color from the blooming eastern sky.
Yeah, it caught me. Local artist.
It captures the moment. I'd have expected, you being a man, to see a big screen TV up there.
I've got that in the great room.
It's looking good, Walker. Seriously good. Is it starting to feel like home? She asked as they walked back to the kitchen.
It is. Yours?
I'm concentrating on the outside work right now. The interior needs a lot of help, but it can wait until winter when work slows down. Or rainy days. He pulled a pizza out of the freezer.
Pepperoni okay?
Pepperoni's been okay since the dawn of time. While he preheated the oven, she slid onto a stool. I like watching a good-looking guy with a cool name slave over a hot stove.
Huh. You should see me create my amazing PB&J.
He got out a beer, a fresh glass, split it with her.
So are you doing the interior work yourself, too?
It's mostly cosmetic. There's scary wallpaper almost everywhere. So pull it off, no doubt sand the walls, paint. I've been picking up some this and that now and again, too. And your kitchen inspired me.
It did?
Yeah, the glass fronts. My kitchen cabinets are crap, absolutely crap. Eventually, I'll replace them, but I figured on painting them for now. Then I thought about your glass fronts. I took the doors off instead. I mean, what am I hiding? I painted the rest, got some pretty dishes and glassware. Done. Well, I had to paint the lower cabinets. She sipped her beer when he unwrapped the pizza, slid it into oven, set the timer.
Okay, so you got my broken nose story. Do I get yours?
He lifted his bottle to drink, studied her over it.
I'm surprised you haven't heard it already.
I would be too, because people tend to tell me stuff. All kinds of stuff. But what I've found is people around here are very careful and respectful of the Walker-Keller family. I can be too, if you'd rather not tell me.
It's not a secret. I'm surprised and kind of touched the whole thing isn't low-hanging fruit on the gossip vine. Do you want the condensed version or the full narrative?
I like long stories. Details matter.
Well, it might take a while. To start, my father knocked my mother around as long as I can remember. Graham Bigelow. Dr. Graham Bigelow. Admired, respected, prosperous, important. On the outside, he and Eliza, his wife, were perfect. They had two perfect children and lived in the Lakeview version of Stepfordville.
Lakeview Terrace. Intrigued she'd nailed it, which likely meant she saw it as he did, he nodded.
That's the one. He was chief surgical resident at Mercy Hospital in Asheville. She played hostess, charity chairwoman, PTA president. We had a housekeeper slash cook 3 times a week, groundskeepers, a couple of Mercedes in the garage, your polished upper-class family.
But there were undercurrents. That's what I call them, like what was in Trent.
That's a good term for it.
Idly, he picked up the baseball he'd left on the counter, rubbed the stitching.
Yeah, plenty of undercurrents. You never knew when he'd go off. Never in front of anyone, always careful where he hit. The other, we'll use it, undercurrent, one I didn't understand for a long time, was Eliza, my mother, liked it.
Oh, Zane.
I know what you're going to say. I know the pathology of a battered spouse, the many reasons for not leaving, for taking on the blame. That's not this. That'll come clear as we go along.
All right.
I don't remember, not clearly, the first time he hit me. I don't mean a swat on the butt. He favored gut punches, kidney punches, the ribs. He knew just where to hit. He didn't hit Britt, not back then. He belittled her, all of us, but that was his main abuse for her. Verbal and emotional abuse. We, Britt and I, were never, never good enough.
That's a horrible way to grow up. You didn't tell anyone?
He was terrifying, and they were a unit. We were afterthoughts, status symbols. Even, in a way, their beard. If he started on her at night, Britt would usually come to my room. We'd just sit there until it stopped. When it stopped, the sex started. That was almost as disturbing. Anyway, that was our life, the pattern of it. That changed December 23rd, 1998.
He laid it all out, coming home with Britt. The blood, the shouts, how he'd snapped and tried to stop Graham, the beating that followed.
So,
he finished,
I understand getting the crap beat out of you.
When the timer went off, he got a round platter, slid the pizza onto it. He pulled a cutter out of a drawer.
I suppose you want a plate for this.
She had to breathe out, to breathe away the fist squeezing her heart.
I insist on a plate. In fact, I'll get them as I can see them through the handy glass fronts.
Knife and fork.
She managed a haughty look.
Don't insult me.
How about I take the plates out back to your excellent new table? It's a nice evening for eating outside.
Works for me.
She took the plates out, gave herself a moment. She couldn't think past the two children living in cruelty and fear and violence. And somehow surviving it, not being dragged down by those ugly undercurrents. He came out, sat across from her, slid a slice onto her plate.
You have an actual pizza server. I'm impressed.
Well, it's a staple around here. Do you want the rest?
Yes, but only if you want to tell me.
We got this far. They told everybody I had the flu. My grandparents were coming in from Savannah, staying with Emily. We were supposed to all have Christmas dinner, catered, at our house. But they switched that up. They wouldn't let anybody come up to see me. Emily made me chicken soup, brought it over, but they wouldn't let her come up. Britt told me Em really tried, but they made her leave.
What could she do?
I'm glad. I want to say she's about my favorite person in Lakeview. I'm glad she tried to help you, to stand for you.
She did more than that. That part's coming.
We went to this ski resort on Boxing Day, family tradition. He loaded me in the car in the garage, left really early. He told the people at the resort I'd had an accident on my bike. When we got back, he told everybody I'd had an accident on the slopes. Did that actually work? For a while. I healed up and I went to Dave, Micah's dad. I asked him to teach me how to lift. I said I wanted to build myself up for baseball.
You wanted to get stronger. His version of her martial arts.
And I did. They decided I'd go to medical school, and I'd decided I'd apply for baseball scholarships when the time came. I wouldn't tell them. I'd earn scholarships, save my money, get a job, whatever it took. And when I turned 18, I could get out. He'd never hit Britt, and she just had to get through a couple more years. I'd do whatever I could to look out for her, but he was never going to beat me like that again.
He bit into a slice.
And of course, when I played college ball, the Orioles scouts would be amazed at my skill and scramble to sign me on the spot.
I heard you had amazing skill. State, athlete of the year, it's all I wanted in the world.
But things changed again.
He told her about the dance. Ashley.
Ashley Grandy? Grandy's Grill Ashley?
That's her.
She's terrific.
First love.
He patted a hand on his heart.
It was a great night, a sweet night. Until I got home, 4 minutes after curfew, and he was waiting.
Darby listened with growing horror. The viciousness, the ugliness, the desperate boy trying to protect his sister. Fighting back only to have his own mother attack and betray him.
But my God, how could they believe you'd attacked your family that way?
Because Dr. Bigelow said I did, and Eliza stood right with him and said the same.
No one believed you?
Dave did. He believed me. He stayed with me. He stayed the whole time on the way to the hospital, in the hospital. I'll never forget it. He called Emily. He argued with the officer, but the officer had his orders from Graham's friend, the chief.
Shock jolted her.
Not Lee?
No, not Lee. He wasn't in Lakeview back then. My arm was pretty fucked up. I'd have surgery later. But the bone doctor stabilized it. And she fought too, but they had orders. I asked Dave to take my house key, get my notebooks from where I'd hidden them. And they hauled me to Buncombe.
What is that? Kid prison.
Want another half a beer?
No. She felt a little sick. No thanks.
Coke? Actual Coke's what I've got, not the southern term for soft drink of any kind.
Maybe he needed a minute too.
Yeah, Coke's good.
When he went inside, she thought of her mother, and her absolute certainty her mom would have stood up for her against anything, anyone. How she had. How she stayed with her in the hospital. Stayed with her while she talked to the police, to lawyers. Always there. When he came back, sat, she leaned forward. Your mother let them do that to you?
Without a qualm.
Then you're right. She wasn't a victim. She was as much an abuser as he was. You must have been terrified.
Numb by then, mostly. Can't say I spent an easy night. What I didn't know was while I was being locked up, Britt was sneaking out of her hospital room. He'd been there when she woke up, threatened her, had her basically in isolation. No phone. She got into another room, used the phone to call Emily. Emily was already at the hospital trying to get some answers.
As he spoke, she imagined the little girl, hurt but making her way down the stairwell in bare feet in a hospital gown. And the woman who loved and believed her, getting her out, getting her to the police.
And there was Lee. Detective Lee Keller of the Asheville PD,
Zane continued. That's how they met?
Yeah. He listened. I don't know how much he believed at first, but he listened. Dave got my notebooks, drove back to Asheville to the police. Lee believed enough to do what cops do. He made calls, asked questions. He talked to the resort, found out I'd come in that December already injured.
Oh, and Graham had tried the he must be on drugs gambit, but my tox was clean. Lee knew the old chief, and he went at him cop to cop, laid out the evidence. The ski accident story fell apart just like the bike accident story. Lee came to see me at Buncombe, got me released into Emily's custody, and he arrested Graham and Eliza.
He deserves someone as terrific as Emily. He's a hero.
He's one of mine.
Did they go to prison?
Eliza did a few years. He did 18 and change. He's out on parole now.
Darby heard Zane's earlier comment echo in her head. Should have been more. How do you feel about that?
There's nothing for them here but humiliation. He lost his medical license and won't get it back. 18 years inside. I feel pretty good about it.
That was the lawyer, she supposed. She wasn't as convinced the boy inside the man felt the same. Have you ever been to see them?
What for?
I think that's a very healthy attitude. I'm not a therapist like your sister, but I've been to one. After Trent, she explained. But I think severing all ties is healthy. They're toxic. Plus, your family's here and they're terrific. I love that Emily and Lee fell in love. It gives it a nice dusting of goodness. She's your mom.
She is in every way that counts. Let's get all the hard stuff over with. How'd you lose your mom?
Hit and run.
Oh, Jesus, Darby, I'm sorry. Did they get the driver?
Darby shook her head. She liked doing this 3-mile run on Sunday mornings. It's quiet. There's a bike path to run on. They figured the car just mowed her down, kept going. They said she died on impact, and I hope that's true. They found the car abandoned about a 1/2 mile past. Stolen. She paused to drink. The guy who owned it, classic 67 Mustang, had been refurbishing it with his son. It was in their driveway when they went to bed, gone when they got up. They figured kids hotwired it sometime during the night. Joyriding, drinking, smoking weed. The car reeked of both, but they'd been smart enough after they'd hit my mother to get rid of the cans or bottles, empty the ashtray, wipe down the doors, the steering wheel. No prints, no DNA.
Did they look at friends, classmates of the son of the owner?
Yeah, they looked at a lot of people, but they never found anything. Worst day of my life. She was a great mom.
What about your dad?
He left when I was about 4. It was the, you know, Springsteen? Got a wife and kid in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a ride and I never went back. She shrugged it off. He was a decent guy for all that.
How do you figure?
Well, they had savings. He didn't touch them. He didn't take the car. Left it at the bus station. Didn't take anything but his clothes and his Gibson guitar. He just couldn't hack husbandhood, fatherhood, familyhood.
As Britt would say, how do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it. I hate that he hurt my mother. She loved him. I barely remember him. I remember he was never mean, and I wonder if he left because he was afraid he would be if he tried to stay in a life that didn't make him happy.
You've got a pretty healthy attitude yourself.
We're a couple of healthy individuals.
We should... First,
he angled his head.
It occurs to me that outside of family, which includes Micah, Dave, and Maureen, I've never told that long saga to anyone. I have to think about why I told you over beer and pizza.
People tell me stuff.
Maybe. Anyway, now that the hard stuff is done, we should have dessert.
Dessert? She wiggled her eyebrows. This is turning into quite the event. What have you got?
I have Swiss rolls.
Little Debbie?
Of course.
Classic. I'm in. Chapter 15. They ate Little Debbie's while dusk crept in and the sky over the western mountains burned. That's another painting, Darby pointed out. Imagine sitting here eating classic snack cakes, watching the sunset, and listening to the water spill melodically over rock and into its pool.
You've already sold me that.
But imagine anyway. You need a hummingbird feeder.
Why?
Hummingbirds, she said simply. Some of what I plant out here will attract them. And songbirds, butterflies. But they'd appreciate a good-looking feeder.
This is so nice. I could play with your grounds for pretty much ever.
I bet you could.
But that's it for tonight. I'm going to load your dishwasher as a thank you for food and drink.
I could say you don't have to do that, but why would I?
She rose, stacked plates, cleared the table. He followed her in, watched her deal with the dishes.
You know,
he began,
we haven't talked about that outside the ballpark kiss.
Should we?
Here's what I'm thinking. You're a client of mine. I'm a client of yours. I think that washes the client deal out.
I can agree with that.
We've established we're healthy individuals. I'm a good-looking guy with a cool name. You're a hot woman who really knows how to wear cargo shorts.
This is all true.
Maybe we should go out for a drink or dinner or the movies.
Or. She turned around, leaned back against the counter. You've already bought me a beer and a half, pizza, and Swiss rolls. That covers drinks and dinner.
I appreciate you acknowledging that. Movies, then.
I could be interested in a movie. I could be interested in, or. He stepped closer, watched her eyes. Yes, interest, with a good dose of amusement.
I have Netflix and all the premium channels. I can find a movie in 2 minutes.
Do you have popcorn?
Newman's. Microwave.
This is tempting. Especially when he laid his hands on her hips, as he'd done during that outside-the-ballpark kiss. I'd enjoy a movie, and I have a strong suspicion I'd enjoy... or. But... he paused on his way in to seal the deal with a kiss.
I'm not going to like this part.
I'm grungy, she reminded him. I'd like to embark on or when I'm clean and perhaps more appropriately dressed.
You can use the shower. And I like your shorts. I especially like them when you're still wearing your boots.
Thanks, and that's very generous of you. How about this? If you're not doing anything tomorrow night, I could shower at my own place after work, come over about 9 for a movie. Then, if we're both in the same frame of mind, we try or. He believed in negotiations.
8:30. We'll have cocktails first.
Ooh, cocktails. Fancy. I definitely need to clean up for that.
Okay. What kind of movie?
Since the movie is basically foreplay, nothing weepy. I can go for a solid rom-com or action-adventure.
You're a really interesting woman.
He went in for the kiss and she met him, rising up on her toes, linking her arms around him. He felt himself slide into it, into her, just slide like he would into the lake on a hot summer day. The need washed over him, drew him deeper until his hands ran up her body, down her back, testing her shape, etching it into memory. He felt her give just a little more, just a little more. When he drew away, a breath away, her hand rested on his cheek, and her heart thudded in time with his.
Maybe I like my women grungy.
Oh boy. Her breath, wonderfully unsteady, fluttered against his lips. It was such a sensible plan, too. If I'm going to change plans, convince me. His mouth took hers again, let the heat flash, let the hunger out. This time, when his hands took her hips, she boosted herself up, wrapped her legs around his waist. Convinced. On a throaty sound, she nipped at the side of his neck. You smell so much better than I do. Maybe I should take that shower.
After.
After, she murmured as he carried her through the house. I'm supposed to be doing paperwork.
Me too.
He paused at the bottom of the steps, gave her an extra dose of convincing, then carried her up. I love your house. I'd probably have had sex with you just to see what you've done with the rest of your house.
Now she tells me.
She laughed, nuzzled his neck again, then her head popped up as he carted her through the open double doors of the master.
Oh my God, look at this space.
I'll give you a tour later.
Oh, don't put me on the bed. My clothes.
You won't have them on long. And I have more sheets.
He tumbled her on the bed, tumbled down right after her, and gripping her hands, dived into the kiss like a man starving. Maybe he was. She'd stirred his appetite almost from the first glance, intrigued him from the first conversation. Then she'd flattened him at the ballpark. Now he could feast. Her hands hard, strong, her mouth smooth, soft. The sharply defined angles of her face, with the skin under her jaw, down her throat, as delicate as silk. Tough, taut muscles, yielding breasts. He found her a series of fascinating contrasts. He tugged off her shirt, and she wasted no time returning the favor. More flesh, more muscle. She ran those firm hands over his chest, breathed out. Yes. He wanted to look at her, just look, but he couldn't stop his hands. When they worked off the simple white sports bra, he thought, yes, as he captured her breast with his mouth. As she arched, he fought with the buckle of her belt, with the button of her shorts, riding on the urgency for more. Breathless, struggling for some sense of control, a little finesse, he eased back.
I should slow down.
No, she said very definitely, and wiggled to help him strip her down. No, you shouldn't.
Thank God.
Let me. She worked her hands between them, quick, capable hands, loosened his belt. Let me. As she dragged at his pants, they rolled so he could kick free of them, rolled again, greedy to take. Slow could wait. She wanted fast and fierce and free. Here, with him, she wanted the loss of control for both of them, wanted to steep in the mindless desperation of mating. To be touched, to be wanted, to feel the need pulsing in him just as it did in her. When he plunged into her at last, the pleasure struck sharp as an arrow. Her hips pumped. Her fingers dug into his as she reveled in the power and speed. Release ripped through her, leaving her trembling, gasping, grateful. And still he drove her, building it all again. She held on, matching him beat for frantic beat. When she fell again, when the hands that gripped him slid weakly away, he fell with her. After a moment where they both lay wheezing for air, he flopped over on his back so they lay hip to hip, staring up, dazed as two survivors of a shipwreck.
It's confirmed,
he managed.
I like my women grungy.
Her laugh, still a little wheezy, ended with a sigh. It looks like I like my men built. Not scary built. She reached over, patted his abs. That can be intimidating. I'm going to get a better look at you once I stop seeing double.
I guess we'll call that one the lightning round.
We both won.
Yeah, we did. It's been a while for me, so lightning round.
This was nice, too, she thought, that they could lie here, sated from sex, and have an actual conversation. What's a while?
I guess about 9 months, maybe 10.
Staring up at the high, coffered ceiling, he decided his brain was too buzzed to accurately calculate.
I had a sort of relationship, not serious, but steady. When I decided to come back, she supported that. She got it. And we both decided to break off the sex.
9 or 10 months? Darby made a pfff sound. That's nothing. I've got more than double that.
Why?
Psychotic ex, time spent questioning my own choices, time to focus on self and business, losing my mother, deciding to uproot and replant. All of it.
That could do it.
Anyway, I think that worked out too. We hit the time is now button in sync. He shifted, looked down at her.
Any thoughts about hitting it again?
Well, it worked the first time. But I absolutely want that shower. It's a really big shower, as I recall. Plenty of room for two healthy individuals.
And plenty of hot water.
Excellent. But I'm not putting those dirty clothes back on after a shower. I've got spare clothes in the truck, because you never know. Russet, he thought. At the moment, he'd call her hair russet.
If you're going to have sex?
If you're going to get covered with mud or rip something. She rolled out of bed. I'll run out and get them. Be right back.
Wait, you're going outside like that?
She shoved a hand through her hair. Like what?
Naked. And by the way, you're ripped.
The truck's right out front and there's nobody around but you who's already seen me naked. 2 minutes.
As she dashed out, Zane pushed himself up. He didn't consider himself overly modest, but she was going outside naked. The woman he'd left behind in Raleigh wouldn't have walked out of the bathroom naked.
She also wouldn't have stepped out of the house without doing her makeup, styling her hair. He didn't think he'd ever seen Darby wear makeup. If anyone had asked, he'd have said she wasn't really his type. And yet he was looking forward to getting her in the shower. Rising, he walked to his terrace doors, opened them, stepped out to watch naked Darby pull a gym bag out of her truck. She looked up, laughed, spread her arms.
I'd have gotten arrested for doing this in Baltimore.
He'd have sworn something shifted in his chest.
You look like a sylph, wearing nothing but moonlight.
A Sith?
No,
now he laughed.
Not one of the dark Jedi, a sylph. Mythological fairy type.
I like that better. Is it okay if I stop off in the kitchen? I can bring up some water.
I've got a mini fridge in the dressing room up here.
Of course you do. Coming up.
The alarm clock in her head woke Darby just before dawn. She lay still, thought about the fact that she woke in Zane's bed. She hadn't meant to stay, and she didn't think he'd meant her to stay. Sex between healthy, willing individuals equaled one thing. Sleeping together added another layer of intimacy. But shower sex had led to a craving for more Swiss rolls, then the snack cakes had somehow led to yet more sex, and that round, call it the slow dance round, had enervated both of them. So when he'd mumbled, "You should just stay," she'd managed an, "Okay," before she'd dropped straight into sleep. Now the problem. She had to get up, get dressed, probably a full hour or more before he did. It had been a long time since she'd slept with someone, and she hoped she hadn't lost her ninja skills. While her eyes adjusted to the dark, she put the room, the furniture placement, in her head. Terrace doors to the right, master bath, walk-in closet, and dressing room to the left. That put the chest of drawers at about 4 o'clock. The love seat and coffee table at about 8:00.